Today on From His Heart with Pastor Jeff Shreve, we'll continue to learn about the heart of murder.
Hey, you got to check your heart. Do you hate your brother? Has there been or is there now hatred in your heart toward another person who hurt you? We break the commandment in our heart. So we're guilty. You're guilty, I'm guilty, we're guilty of breaking the sixth commandment. But here is the good news. We can be forgiven and changed by the power of Jesus Christ.
He can heal every scar.
Murder seems like a pretty easy thing to understand. The sixth commandment clearly states that you shall not murder. But when you dig a little deeper, you find that there are some significant and practical questions that come into play when we really understand this commandment. What do we need to know? We'll find out on this edition of From His Heart with Pastor Jeff Shreve. The message is entitled, The Heart of Murder. And it's from Pastor Jeff's new 10-lesson series, Written in Stone, a study of the Ten Commandments. This comprehensive study of these commandments is our gift to you for your support this month to From His Heart. You can go to fromhisheart.org to make that gift and request the series, Written in Stone, and make a choice of which format you'd like. Right now, though, open your Bible to Exodus chapter 20, and let's complete this lesson on the heart of murder. Here again is Pastor Jeff.
So I want to share the answers to three questions, three common questions as it relates to the sixth commandment, you shall not murder. Question number one, why? Why did God give this commandment? So why did God do this? It is because man is made in the image of God. Genesis chapter 9, when Noah and his family come off the ark, the Lord speaks to them, and the Lord says this, "And I will require the blood of anyone who takes another person's life. If a wild animal kills a person, it must die. And anyone who murders a fellow human must die. If anyone takes a human life, that person's life will also be taken by human hands, for God made human beings in His own image." Humans are different than any other creature that God made because man is made in the image of God, and murder is an assault on the image of God. God says that human life is precious. And man is not to put himself in the place of God. That belongs to God. Life and death belong to God. 1 Samuel chapter 2, the Lord kills and makes alive. He brings down to Sheol and raises up. God is God. God is in charge. So that's why God gave this commandment. Hey, you put human life at a premium because man is made in my image. Second question, what does this command forbid? The Hebrew word is ratsak. It means to dash in pieces, to put to death, to slay a human being. It denotes the unlawful, premeditated, or immoral taking of another person's life. So this command, very basically, forbids taking another person's life in a premeditated, intentional act to murder another person. But the command forbids taking another person's life, intentionally taking another person's life. But what else does it forbid? Well, it forbids taking an unborn baby's life. See, we think about, okay, murder, that's wrong. If I just got mad at you and pulled out a gun and shot you and killed you, oh, that's wrong. Pastor Jeff, you can't do that. But then we think about abortion and we say, well, that's a different story. No, it's not. Abortion is murder. How about suicide? This command also forbids taking your own life. So the sixth commandment forbids the taking of another person's life, the willful taking of another person's life, the taking of an unborn baby, the taking of your own life. But there are some exclusions to the sixth commandment, some things that when we think about taking a life, murder is just different than taking a life because sometimes taking a life is warranted. So what are some of the exclusions? Well, number one is legal execution. That's an exclusion to the sixth commandment. That is not murder. That is capital punishment. People say, what does the Bible say about capital punishment? Genesis chapter 9, verse 6. And I will require the blood of anyone who takes another person's life. If a wild animal kills a person, it must die. If anyone who murders a fellow human, anyone who murders a fellow human must die. If anyone takes a human life, that person's life will also be taken by human hands. God is for capital punishment for capital crimes. And so when the powers that be get involved, then there is execution. That's not murder. If government is doing its job, it's a place where it's supposed to protect the innocent and punish evildoers. And the scripture says it does not bear the sword in vain. And what do you do with a sword when you're government? You don't use it to give swats. You don't spank people's behinds with the sword. You cut off their heads. And also an exclusion is just war or law enforcement. When you're in war and you're taking life, that's not murder. That's not murder. We know that's the fact because you read in the Old Testament, God told his people under Joshua, in the book of Joshua, they're on the warpath and they're attacking people and killing people. And the Lord told them to do that. Joshua is never called in Scripture a murderer. He's not a murderer. He's a war hero. And then self-defense. The Scripture makes it clear. Self-defense is an exclusion to the sixth commandment. Exodus chapter 22. If a thief is caught breaking into a house at night and is killed, the one who killed him is not guilty of murder. But if it happens during the day, he is guilty of murder. You're not committing murder if you defend yourself, your life, because you also are made in the image of God. Now, the Bible in Numbers chapter 35 gives a lot of time and space to manslaughter. That's an unintentional killing. Unintentional, because that happens. Somebody's out in the field and something happens and somebody dies. And I didn't mean to do that, but this person died. Manslaughter is its own separate category. So these are all the surface things about this sixth commandment. This is taking some kind of weapon in your hand and killing another person. Now let's go deeper, the third question, because the third question is really the most important question. What does this command say to us at a deeper level? What does this mean at a deeper level? Because when Jesus comes on the scene in the New Testament, the people that lived in the first century, they would say, we're doing really good. None of us are murderers. We haven't murdered anybody. We are righteous. And what does Jesus do in the Sermon on the Mount? He takes the law and he doesn't lower the bar on the law. He raises the bar on the law. And this is what Jesus said. You have heard, Matthew chapter 5, verse 21 and 22, you have heard that the ancients were told, you shall not commit murder, and whoever commits murder shall be liable to the court. That's right. Yeah, that's right. That's right. We're liable to the court if we commit murder, but we never commit murder because we're righteous Jews. He says, but I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother shall be guilty before the court. And whoever shall say to his brother, Raca, which means stupid idiot, empty head, it's a pejorative for sure, Raca shall be guilty before the Supreme Court, and whoever shall say, you fool, shall be guilty enough to go into the fiery hell. See, we can break this commandment in our heart, and we often break the sixth commandment in our heart. So I know that most of you, you haven't committed murder. You haven't taken a knife in your hand and killed someone. You haven't shot someone with a gun and killed them. There might be some accidental death, and no doubt there are some that have committed the horrible sin of abortion. We're going to get to what you do with that in just a minute. But most of us, we say, well, I'm not guilty of that sin. Look how good I am, Lord. And the Lord says, hey, I don't see as man sees. Man sees the outward appearance. I see the heart. So let's look at your heart. Have you been angry with your brother? Have you said to someone, you stupid idiot, have you called them a fool? Are you missing, this is what Jesus is saying, are you missing the fact that we're not talking about just being in trouble with the law if you break the sixth commandment? You're in trouble with God. You have broken God's commandment. Jesus said, don't fear those who can destroy the body, but fear him who can destroy both the body and soul in hell. That's whom you need to fear. And so this is a heart deal. And see, this is how the commandment works, because he's going to do the same thing with, you've heard it said, you shall not commit adultery. Yeah, I've never committed adultery. That's bad. I say to you, whoever looks on a woman to lust for her has committed adultery with her already in his heart. Whoa, that covers all of us, because the Lord looks at the heart. So here is how this works. We get angry at someone. Bible says, don't let the sun go down on your anger. So you let the sun go down in your anger. You're angry with someone. What happens to that anger? Anger turns into resentment. I really resent this person because how they hurt me. You let the sun go down on resentment, and that turns into bitterness, into this smoldering, I just hate that person. And from bitterness, you go to hatred, and from hatred, you go to murder. So think of it like a train. The first stop on the train heading to murder town is anger. And if you don't get off, then you're on the second stop, which is resentment. You don't get off, then you're on the third stop, which is bitterness. You don't get off, then you're on the fourth stop, which is hatred. You don't get off, that leads to murder. And so Jesus said, if you're on the train, you're guilty before God, because man sees the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart. And Jesus said, it's in the heart. What happens in the heart? It's not what comes into a mouth that defiles a man. It's what comes out of the mouth. And the mouth speaks from that which fills the heart. And out of the heart of man, Matthew chapter 15, are murders and adulteries and thefts and all sorts of evil things in the heart. Now, the Bible talks about Cain in the book of 1 John, Cain the first murderer. And this is what it says about Cain. For this is the message, 1 John chapter 3, for this is the message which you have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another, not as Cain, who was of the evil one and slew his brother. And for what reason did he slay him? Because his deeds were evil and his brothers were righteous. Everyone who hates his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. Talking about Cain, here's the interesting thing about Cain. So Cain offers to the Lord his sacrifice. He's a farmer. He gives the fruit of the ground, the best that he could produce with his two hands. Lord, I don't want to come the way you told me to come. I'm going to come my way. Woe to them, it says in the book of Jude, they have gone the way of Cain. I'm going to go worship the Lord my way. Well, you don't worship the Lord your way. You worship the Lord his way. Abel came with a blood sacrifice because that's the way God said to come. That's all throughout Scripture. That's how we come. We know that the Lord told them how to come because in Hebrews chapter 11, it says, by faith, Abel offered a sacrifice, a more excellent sacrifice than did his brother. He did it by faith. And faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, which means no one can have any faith without the word of God. Abel and Cain, they both heard from God directly or from Adam and Eve telling them what God said, that when you come before the Lord, you come with a blood sacrifice. But he didn't do it. He came his own way. And for Cain and his offering, the Lord had no regard. But he had regard for Abel and his offering. So Cain became very angry. And the Lord said to Cain, Cain, why are you so angry? And why is your countenance fallen? If you do well, will not your countenance be lifted up? But if you don't do well, sin is crouching at the door and its desire is for you. Yet you must master it. Cain doesn't speak to the Lord. Cain is just so angry with the Lord. And Cain says, okay, God, you want a blood sacrifice? I'll give you a blood sacrifice. And he jumps on his brother in the field and he slits his throat. Because the word used in 1 John chapter 3 for slaying his brother is the same word used for slitting the throat of the Passover lambs. Here's your blood sacrifice, God. Cain's of the evil one. And so the scripture puts that into perspective and says, everyone who hates his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. What happened to Cain? He got on the train at the anger point, and then resentment, and then bitterness, and then hatred. Hatred mainly toward God, but it was directed toward his brother. How's he going to get at God? He can't. But I can get at the guy that you were all excited about, God. I'll kill him. Hey, you got to check your heart. Do you hate your brother? Has there been or is there now hatred in your heart toward another person who hurt you? We break the commandment in our hearts. Secondly, we break this commandment with our approval. That's kind of like murder by proxy, with our approval. You say, well, where is that in the Bible? How about Saul of Tarsus? First time we run into Saul of Tarsus, it's in Acts chapter 7. And Stephen is preaching this great sermon in Acts chapter 7, and they can't handle the wisdom that he's giving them. And he comes at them with both barrels. And man, Stephen was stronger than an acre of garlic. And they're just like, ah, they couldn't listen to it anymore. They cover their ears and they rush upon him and they throw him out and they pick up stones to stone him. And it says they laid their coats at the feet of a young man named Saul of Tarsus. He was there that day when they stoned Stephen to death. He was there saying, yeah, that's right. Kill him, kill him, kill him. It's murder by approval. What did they say in Acts chapter 3 when Peter and John went up to pray in the temple and they healed this man who had been lame from birth? And then the Lord uses that testimony to create a stir, and people are asking questions. And this is what Peter says. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified his servant Jesus, the one whom you delivered up and disowned in the presence of Pilate, whom he had decided to release. But you disowned the holy and righteous one and asked for a murderer to be granted to you. But you put to death, you murdered the Prince of Life, the one whom God raised from the dead, a fact to which we are all witnesses. He lays the death of Jesus at their feet. You did it. Oh, no, I didn't do it. I didn't nail him to a tree. Yes, you did. Through the Romans, you did it. It is murder by approval, murder by proxy. It's almost like having a hitman. You know, when David, he was charged with the murder of Uriah the Hittite. David didn't pick up a sword and cut Uriah's head off. No, he just wrote a little note to Uriah himself and folded it over. Hey, Uriah, give this to Joab, the general, when you get back to the battle. And so he does. And Joab reads the note and says, put Uriah in the fiercest part of the battle, and then everyone withdraw from him. And God said, David, you killed Uriah through the sword of the sons of Ammon, through the Ammonites. David was charged with that murder, even though it was not by his own hand. It's murder with our approval. So we're guilty. You're guilty. I'm guilty. We're guilty of breaking the sixth commandment. Everyone in this room guilty of breaking the sixth commandment. If you say that you have never had any anger, resentment, bitterness, hostility, hatred in your heart toward another person, you need to be here when we go on for number nine, commandment number nine, you shall not lie. Because you're a liar if you say, I've never had that. We've all had that, and all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. But here is the good news. We can be forgiven and changed by the power of Jesus Christ. The worst of sins and the worst of sinners and the worst of murderers can be forgiven by the power of Jesus Christ. That's Paul's testimony, Saul of Tarsus. He said, God had mercy on me, even though I was a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent aggressor. I was guilty of murder by proxy. I was, as it says in the books of Acts, Saul of Tarsus. He was breathing out threats and murders against the disciples of the Lord. He's just breathing it in, breathing it out, breathing it in, breathing it out. I hate these people. I'm going to destroy these people. And all the time he's thinking he's serving God. But he said, but I found mercy in the Lord. And I love 1 Timothy 1. It is a trustworthy statement deserving full acceptance that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, among whom I am foremost of all, among whom I am chief. Yet for this reason, I found mercy, in order that in me as the foremost, Jesus Christ might demonstrate his perfect patience as an example for those who would believe in him for eternal life. Paul's testimony is this: if Jesus Christ can save me, he can save anybody. And that is good news for sinners today. I don't care what you've done. And I think we would put murder up there at the top. How can God forgive murder? He does it the same way he forgives any other sin, through the blood of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And listen, none of us have to live in guilt and shame, no matter what you've done. If you'll come to the Savior in repentance and faith and pour out your heart and pour out your sin to him, he will forgive you. He will wash you white as snow. He will deliver you from the domain of darkness and take you into the kingdom of his beloved Son. He'll write your name in his book. And when you die, you won't have to have any fear, because you know that Jesus will come and bring me to the Father, because I've put my faith and trust in him. And I'm not trusting in myself and my good works. I'm trusting in him and what he did on the cross for me.
Would you like to come to the Lord today and place your faith in him for eternal life? Then you'll want to genuinely repent of your sin and ask him to come into your heart and change you. To find out more about what this decision really means, go to fromhisheart.org, click the Why Jesus link on our homepage. We pray that you'll do that today. And today, if you receive Christ as your Lord and Savior, we want to rejoice with you. Please go to our website and hit the Contact Us tab so you can tell us about it. Today you heard part two of the message entitled, The Heart of Murder. It's the sixth commandment of 10 in the series Written in Stone, a study of the 10 commandments. Now, you would think that if there is one of the 10 commandments that was not necessary for God to put in the 10 commandments, it would be this one, do not murder. I mean, it just seems so obvious to any society or culture or belief system that murder is a bad thing, really bad. But he did include it. Why? Well, the sixth commandment digs deeper not only into our actions in this life, but into the potential of our hearts to sin yet feel no shame. Today, we learned a lot about the real ramifications of murder and what do we need to know about this and all the commandments. That's why it would be a great blessing to you to dig deeper into all of them. If you'd like to receive this new 10-message series from Pastor Jeff, then it's our gift to you to say thank you for your support this month to From His Heart of any amount. And you can get the series, Written in Stone, A Study of the 10 Commandments, when you go online to fromhisheart.org or call 866-40-BIBLE, 866-40-BIBLE. And when you make your gift of any amount, we'll send you this series to say thanks. And thank you for praying about supporting From His Heart now, celebrating our 20th year of broadcast ministry, from which Pastor Jeff receives no income. All you give goes to help sustain and expand our reach into hearts and homes across this country and around the world. God bless you for your help this month. I'm Larry Nobles. Thank you for joining us today, and we trust that you'll be right back here tomorrow when Pastor Jeff begins our study of the seventh commandment. Be with us on Friday for part one of The Sacredness of Sex, when we'll open up God's Word and share real truth, real love, and real hope from His heart. From His Heart is the listener-supported broadcast ministry of Dr. Jeff Shreve, speaking the truth in love to a lost and a hurting world. Remember that no matter what, God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. Find out about that. Go to FromHisHeart.org.